Lars Larson, your dog in the fight.
Welcome back to the program. Glad to be with you, and I'll get back to your phone calls here in just a moment. It is a great pleasure to welcome back to the program Dr. John Lott, who's the man we turn to when it comes to looking at gun laws and especially the statistics that back them up. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and the author of More Guns, Less Crime. Not his most recent book, but actually a great book on this subject. John, it's good to have you back.
Great to talk to you, Lars. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. I watched the president's speech. I'm sure you did as well. What should we make of these new restrictions he wants to put on Americans?
It's a pretty painful thing to watch. But, I mean, it's just the amount of misinformation. I can't tell you, there must have been like 40 things wrong with the that he said that were incorrect. But, you know, just take the current statute. The current statute, I think, couldn't be more clear. It says, before somebody has to have a license to be a firearms dealer, their principal objective of livelihood and profit has to be through the repetitive purchase and resale of firearms. You know, that basically is saying that most of your activity in your professional life has to be involved in selling guns, and most of your profit has to be from that. I don't know how much clearer they could be. And there are other restrictions there saying that, you know, protecting people who are buying and selling a lot of guns because of their personal collection or as a hobby. And so this notion that somehow you can go and write up a rule that's going to say you sell one gun and you sell it in certain ways. So let's say it's still in the box or, you know, you take a credit card or you sell it within, you know, so many months after you originally bought it, you know, any of those things mean that you're a firearms dealer and that you have to get a license and therefore you have to perform a background check. Even if you only buy one gun and resell it within 4 months, that will be enough to go and get you in prison under Obama's world. And I have a hard time believing it will survive a court challenge, but that isn't going to be any different than a lot of things that he does. His attitude seems to be he wants to have a certain rule. He's going to do it. You have to sue him to stop him. And he knows it'll take years for the courts to go and resolve the conflict that's there. In the meantime, people will be afraid to go and sell guns for fear that they'll end up in prison.
You know, one of the statistics that I wanted to ask you about, and I think I know the explanation behind this, but the president stood there and he said, in Connecticut, they passed a new law after the Sandy Hook shooting, and the number of deaths dropped by 40%. I thought, well, if you just had this horrific murder of a couple of dozen people, children and teachers, at a school 1 year, and you pass the law immediately after that, of course the next year is likely to have a much lower incidence of murder because the previous year included the Sandy Hook shooting. And then he said, and when Missouri got rid of a law, he said deaths went up. And I thought, I've looked at those stats before, and it strikes me that what I remember about Missouri is that they were already on an uptrend for homicide, which could be tied to economics and a bunch of other things, and that they made a change in the law, but the statistics didn't seem to rise because of the change in the law, but just because they're already on an uptrend. Can you help us put a little context on these numbers that the president is shoveling out?
Yeah. Right. No, in fact, both of those things we have pages put up at our website, crimeresearch.org. If you search under Webster and Missouri or Webster and Connecticut, you'll find the discussions that you're talking about there. And you're right, in the Missouri case, murder rates were rising before they got rid of the licensing law for handguns there. And they rose afterwards, but at a slower rate. They rose at about half the rate afterwards that they were rising beforehand. So maybe it even slowed it down. But the thing is, you just can't pick one state. If you have 18 states that have a particular law, like you'll emphasize the background checks on private transfers, you just don't pick one state. You go and you look at all the states. In Missouri, they adopted the licensing rule and the background checks on private transfers of handguns in 81. And got rid of it in 2007. And so you should look at both times. The reason why he only looks at 2007 and doesn't look at any of the other states is because if he looked at 81, it went in the opposite direction clearly. And the reason why he doesn't pick the other states is he doesn't get the results that he wants. And so it's really poorly done scholarship. You really, any academic knows that you should go and look at all the data that's available rather than just cherry pick one place to look at, because you can get randomness in any case. In any case, if you look at it properly, as you say, not just the before and after averages, which is what they're doing, if it's rising before and rising afterwards, you're going to get a higher average afterwards in terms of murder rates, even though there was maybe even no change in the rate, though in this case it slowed down. In Connecticut's case, they're talking about a law that went into effect in 96 that involved licensing and these expanded background checks.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they mentioned the 40%. That's the drop in murder rates for Connecticut, but murder rates were falling nationally by almost the same amount. And the thing is, if they had just gone for one more year to 2006, because the data they look at is just up through 2005, even though the paper just came out recently, if they looked at 2006, the drop for Connecticut would have been 17%, and the drop nationwide would have been 50%.
You know, I got to tell you this, John. One of the most striking things is usually when some public official says, we want to solve a problem, they say, this is the problem, this is what appears to cause it, we're going to put limits on the thing that's causing the problem. But the president, right, listen to this soundbite, effectively said, I know that none of what I'm proposing would have anything to do with the shootings that have happened.
Each time this comes up, we are fed the excuse that common sense reforms like background checks might not have stopped the last massacre, or the one before that, or the one before that. So why bother trying? I reject that thinking.
Now, he doesn't say why he rejects it. If you say we've had 15 or 20 major incidents that drew national attention, let's look at all of them. Would any of them have been stopped by the changes he's proposing? The answer he knows is no. It wouldn't have stopped a single one of them. So he says, but I'm just going to reject that argument, as though that settles the question.
Yeah, no, it's comical. Look, I really wish up before this even, because he's been categorical. I mean, he's gradually, you know, become grayer in terms of the assertions. But if you look after Newtown, if you look at after other mass shootings in the years prior to this, he was categorical, saying that we need to have these background checks on private transfers in order to stop these attacks. In the last couple months, as it's been clear that none of the cases, not one single mass shooting during his administration would have been stopped if his ideal laws had been in place, then they say, well, you know, we don't expect it to stop all of them, but at least he'll stop some. I really wish that some reporter at some of these press conferences would have asked him, rather than these fawning questions, would have said, you know, Mr. President, you've brought this up every time. Could you point to one example that you've talked about, or just one example during your whole administration, where this law would have made a difference? Because, as you say, it wouldn't have made any difference in any of the cases. In fact, if you go back to at least to the year 2000, all the mass shootings since then, and there's been like 47 of them, none of them would have been stopped as a result if those laws had been in place. We just did a study that just came out. Fox had a discussion on it today, where we looked at the states with and without these types of background checks that the president wants, these background checks on private transfers.
Yeah.
The rate of mass public shootings and the fatalities and injuries from mass public shootings are actually higher in the states with these expanded background checks. And not only that, but that when states adopted the expanded background checks, their deaths from mass public shootings went up by 80%, and their injuries from mass public shootings went up by 101%.
John, I appreciate the time. John Lott is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. I'll be back with your calls in just a moment. You've got the Lars Larson Show.